This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to the program here. You can join us. And you can bring up absolutely anything you want to talk about. Phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about changes in the advertising world. A lot of people really hate advertising. They hate advertisements. They skip them every possible chance they can get. Because now with technology and a lot of the advertising there are ways to do that. Aria, you were just explaining something that I don't think is uncommon at all, especially amongst younger people. I mean, Bonnie and I are the same way, where if you're on some sort of video streaming service and it's some advertisement pops in, there's that little countdown timer that goes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you can hit the skip button, and that's all you're looking at. You just zone in right on that.
Yeah, never underestimate the ability of people to zone out of things they don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. A long, long time ago, back when I lived in Mississippi, I was hanging out with my girlfriend at the time, and we were listening to, some local radio station that was playing some pop music, and some commercials came on, and sure enough, we both just completely zoned out of the commercials that were playing for the next four, and I realized that we just played a bunch of commercials, and I'm telling you what happened. But we zoned out. We had no idea what commercials played, but as soon as the music came back, there was some cue that said, okay, pay attention again.
Right.
And we couldn't tell you, because I was high at the time, and that makes me think of weird stuff like this. So I was like, did you hear the commercial that just came on? And she goes, what commercial? I was like, well, I mean, there was just a commercial break, and she goes, I know. I was like, okay, so neither of us...
Not a single one of them registered with.
Yeah, we have no idea what was said to us. And I could have kept my headphones on just then, and I would have not heard a single one. I would have heard them, and maybe they would have registered somewhere in my subconscious, but I don't even think that, because
I don't think so.
You can turn off part of your brain.
Yeah. There was actually a really interesting video that came out, last year at some point, that was shared in one of the newsletters. I subscribe to Holland Cook's newsletter. If you listen to her online streams, you know who Holland Cook is. He hosts some really cool little featurettes that we play during the breaks.
I really like the inflation hacks right now.
Inflation hacks, yeah. He's helping people, save a few bucks.
I like when he discovered box wine. Did you know you can get, seven bottles of wine for, 12 bucks?
Apparently he didn't until recently. He does a radio industry thing that I subscribe to. He used to charge for it, and then a few years ago he just started giving it away for free. But
I wonder if he's now supported by. Well, no, I guess charging for it would have been the equivalent of being supported by Patreon.
Yeah, he was doing a direct subscription model before, and I think he's just been successful enough to where he's like, yeah, whatever, here you go, you can have it for
free.
That's
good.
But he put on a video, and what it was it was people, I would say, under the age of 40. Generally, like a group of people, lots of people in their 20s and 30s, that kind of thing. And they were sitting in a room. It was like some sort of a study. They're on video. They've got a pair of headphones on or whatever, and they're listening to a commercial break from a New York City radio station, like Z100 or something, one of these big stations that's been around forever. And they played literally from the end of whatever the song was to the beginning of the next song.
Okay.
And it was, no joke, it was including the, all of the elements they had, right? So the disc jockey talking, the commercials, the disc jockey saying something else, more commercials.
And just for the sake of curiosity, how much of each song did they put, the last 30
seconds? The last
30 seconds
or something like that. So, and then finally to the, them rejoining the next song. And I'm telling you, if I recall correctly, it was 11 to 13 minutes. From the end of one song to the beginning of another song.
I mean, if you tune in at the wrong time, that can certainly happen.
It should never happen. That's insane.
But it happens, especially on television. That happens all the time. The Big Bang Theory, I liked the show before it jumped the shark. Obviously, every show jumps the shark.
Mm-hmm.
But it did exactly this. It would, there was 4 minutes of commercials, and then 30 seconds of the intro, whatever they call it,
mm-hmm.
and then another 4 minutes of commercials.
Ah, it's brutal.
And it was 8 solid minutes of commercials broken up by 30 seconds of stuff that people were going to tune out. And then the show actually started, and then
right.
7.5 minutes later, there was another 4-minute commercial break.
Well, and what was interesting about this was, you know, watching these people's reaction. Like, because they are on the assignment they have is to listen, right? Like, this is what the study is, right? To listen to see, okay, when would you have punched out of this break, right? Because we know everybody's going to. If you're in your car or whatever, and you're tuning in, you know, you're listening to the radio, at some point, most people are going to punch out from that station once they get into
the
commercials.
I immediately changed the channel to look for a station playing music.
So you're immediate, right?
Yeah.
Like, there were a few people, I think most people...
But this is why radio all moved toward playing commercials at roughly the same time, right?
Yeah. I think they do that on purpose.
Some
like,
do.
I'm always looking, and I'm like, now they're all on commercials.
Yeah, some do. Certainly the ones that are owned by the same company are definitely doing that.
See, I thought it was a sort of a... You don't have to have a conspiracy for people whose interests align to work toward the same goal, right? It just sort of happens organically. If I need to survive and you need to survive and we both need to survive, then we're going to do things that just organically work together for the goal of survival.
It must be the case, Ian, because it's like every single time I'm like, oh. Commercial, I'm changing it. I loop around a couple times. If I don't find one straggler still playing music and mm-hmm. it's a good song, then I just turn the radio off.
Yeah. So that's how most people were in this study, right? They were like, yeah, I'm out, right? Like, I would have punched out first commercial. I'm out. I'm gone. Some people were like, I'd listen to this ad and then...
Despite being instructed, hey, we want you to listen.
Well, no. They had to listen. They were giving feedback on when, if they were just a normal listener, what would they normally be doing, right? And most of their answers were, okay, I'm already switched to the other station at this point or whatever. But they did have to listen. Some of them said they probably would have listened through given it the first ad, you know, like listen to the first ad and then they'd punch out. But most of them would punch out during the first ad, usually as quick as Bonnie was saying, like right away. And so to have all these people who normally do not listen to a commercial break on radio, actually have to sit there and listen, the reactions from these people were pretty priceless. Like, they could not believe how many commercials there were and how long, and I couldn't believe it. Even as like a radio professional, I could not believe there was a 13-minute, you know, essentially break between songs on this big city radio station. That's insane.
Well, when I listened to Free Talk Live, I would listen via the website, but mm-hmm. MP3 player thing, I guess, and it played all of the LRN's ads. So
LRN's ads are special, though.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say, they're just
not
bad. But
I personally care about them.
The only one that I would turn off every single time, I'm not going to remember what it's called right now, but there was a lady saying, my cat has dandruff.
And
I always turn it off as soon as possible, and I was like, ew,
that was
just
an actual
throw the cat away.
No, that was an actual advertiser.
Is that Dynavites?
Dynavites. They came out with a cat version of Dynavites, and it started off, this lady was like, my cat had dandruff. And that was so gross to me, I was always just turned off and be like, throw the cat away.
Well, at least you listened long enough to know what it was. Most people, they'll just punch right out, and then that's the end of it. But,
I mean, 13 minutes is a long time, no doubt, but...
That's nuts.
We just threw out 8 minutes and 10 seconds by my quick...
Yeah, but there's 6 minutes of that news.
Oh.
So it's program content, mostly. So
that's us. You put the news in there, right?
Well, I do, and so does every radio station out there. So the top of the hour break is actually more news than it is commercials.
Okay. I feel better then.
Yeah. But it is a long break. That is true. But
it's a long break for us, not necessarily for the listener.
But you're getting content. Yeah, you get 2 minutes on our current clock. You get 2 minutes of ads, and one of those belongs to the station, the local station, and then you're right into the 6 minutes of news, basically. Now
we have a graph. Like, if I needed to know this, like a spur of a moment, we have a graph that I could look at, but it's not in front of me.
Right.
For listeners who are like, why doesn't Aria know this?
Now we can't say for sure what the local station would do with their 6 minutes of news. Some of them are going to play news for 5 minutes and take a, you know, maybe one more commercial after that. Some of them might have a 3 or 4 minute news and then some local stuff or whatever. So who knows? You know, we don't know what
they're
going to
do. But we can't control what radio stations do.
We don't. But what we've done here tonight and in the last night, so until, you know, further notice, until we decide to cut it back further, because we're not going to add commercials after this, is we've cut 8 minutes an hour of commercials. So we've got 8 more minutes of time that we get to actually have conversations. We get to get into deeper conversations. We, you know, if we've got somebody, a guest or somebody on the phone.
8 minutes an hour?
That's correct. That's a lot.
I thought it was 24 minutes an hour.
Per show. 24 minutes per show. 3 hour show.
I really like the new format, and I realize this is my first night being on it, but we're a third of the way in at this point. You know, I've been doing Free Talk Live for like 4 or 5 years now, and there's a much better flow. There's
we're not stopping constantly.
I'm worried there may be less time to, like, prepare and work things out during breaks, but how much of that did we actually do anyway? It was usually just, like, I was playing a video game or someone was scrolling through Facebook or Twitter or whatever, so it's not like we used the breaks to plan the next segment.
Sometimes we did. Sometimes
I
do.
Since I live here, I usually used to eat during the show, and today purposely finished cooking and eating before the show, and that makes it totally fine. Like, I can pee twice in an hour.
Yeah, it makes the show go by paradoxically significantly faster.
You think this new format does?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Than it did previously.
Yeah, that is an interesting observation. I mean, we're both brand new to it. This is our first night doing this this new format, and it's still open phones. It's still the same show. The number is 603-283-6160. We're not going to be so meta about it for into the future.
It's just new to us.
But yeah, I mean, the
screening calls worries me as well. But like,
we're not
going to
we're just going to wing it basically. I mean,
I like it.
Kind of the way I see it. Improv is. You know, we never had a call screener here anyway. We were always just doing our own call screening during the breaks. But
we had GCN doing it for a while.
That's true. For years, we did have GCN. But for the last 2 years, we have not had our own call screener. And, you know, it really doesn't matter that much, ultimately. If we get crankers calling in, then we'll play it differently if we need to.
And we're using the caller ID now much more effectively. Yes. We're using the call logs more effectively.
Yeah, so the technology's gotten a little bit better on the back end here. And so far, just taking calls as they come in has actually worked out. It's actually, I think, going to be better for the caller because you won't have to wait. It used to be that you kind of had to wait for, if you called in the middle of a segment and then we're in the middle of the segment. We don't know who you are. We're going to wait till the break and then screen you. Now we're not going to do that. We're just going to go and, like we did with Stefan's call.
And we still have a dump button.
Yeah, we still have our dump machine. So I'm excited about it. I think it's a good change, and it's necessary. And this is one of the things I was trying to explain to the radio business people that are on my email list. It's like, whether you like it or not, younger listeners, they just are not as tolerant of commercial inventory. You go online, we've all seen these online streams. I don't watch a lot of them, but anytime I'm watching an online streamer or whatever, there's no such thing as a commercial break. That just doesn't exist.
No, I bought a cheap $70 laptop at one point to connect to my television just so I could install an ad block and not use the built-in YouTube app, right, to watch stuff. Because
where they would force the ads on you.
There may be, with a really high-end television, there may be an ad block application that you can install or something like that. But for the most part, just throw a cheap laptop in there, and you've got the exact same thing.
Right.
And then you don't have to pay an ad block subscription service or whatever you probably have to pay with a smart television. And it works. No more ads.
So this is something that these companies are going to have to deal with, is the fact that, you know, these old dog media companies, these ABCs, NBCs, CBS, all these old media companies that have forever subsisted on this advertiser-supported model, they're struggling to try to figure out how to get from the old world into the new world of new media. And so streaming is their solution for now, right? Like, okay, well, we still have our old channels for the 65 and up crowd that is still watching cable and or broadcast television. We still have what we would call the linear channels, right, where a certain show comes on at a certain time, and then, you know, maybe you can record it if you got the right equipment, but if you're not there for it, then it's gone. Versus streaming, where everything is on demand for the most part. You can order up whatever you want, and you get to watch it
And they want you, of course, to pay for that. So the story here from Axios.com is covering that.
One second, real quick. This is why Free Talk Live is perfect, right? Because can you imagine Rush Limbaugh doing an hour and 20 minutes of talking about how much he hates advertising? Like, that was his bread and butter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And we are honest. We're still ordinary, average people, and we got to tell you, I hate ads. Yeah. I don't want to hear them. I don't want them in my life. And because of that, I don't want them on the show. Beyond what is absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And some are necessary simply because we are doing a radio show and radio stations have to pay the bills somehow.
Well,
you know?
Someone's got to pay the electricity and the internet and stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. 100,000 watt radio station is not a cheap thing. The power bill is not a cheap thing to deal with. So, but let's talk about TV because they're having a real tough time. And they're saying here that some companies may be combining. So, for instance, Paramount, which has its own streaming system.
Of course they do. Paramount Plus, I have it.
They are now.
It's more reasonable. I think it's $4.99 a month.
They're now apparently beginning to bundle Showtime in with their primary streaming services.
Okay, but see, I don't have Showtime because they don't have anything I care about.
Well, every now and then they get a good show. They had Dexter back in the day, which I was really a big fan of.
Oh, yeah, that was like their show, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Dexter's really good.
AMC Networks is laying off 20% of its staff. Most challenges plaguing TV giants today stem from the false assumption that streaming would easily make up for linear television losses. Paramount, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Disney, and Comcast do not expect their standalone streaming offerings to break even until 2024 or 2025 at the earliest.
No, that's silly. And the reason they should have never expected that, because there's a lot more sharing in the internet world and the streaming world than there is in cable television. I can't share my cable, my satellite, or my cable modem with my neighbors or my girlfriend or my friends or whatever. But I can absolutely give them my Netflix password, and there's not a damn thing Netflix can do about it.
They're going to start trying.
This year they're going to start trying.
They can, but I actually had the tech chops where I could set up a router level VPN, and then they wouldn't know. It would appear to Netflix that the friend is connecting from the exact same IP address as me, if it came to that, right? But I would just cancel my Netflix subscription to vote with my dollar.
But the article I had about it said that, they may bring charges. Apparently that's just the U.K., the U.K. is thinking about bringing charges against people.
No, the story,
they're flaunting it. They're saying we could.
No, that was just what the story said in the headline.
Netflix, but the government.
No, the government if you actually looked at the rest of the story, it was clearly stating that the government will not bring charges without Netflix asking them to.
Oh.
So. Oh.
But they were flaunting like that they could. They're like, under this provision,
and Netflix said they're not going to do that. That would be terrible publicity.
They said that, but I mean, if you wanted proof that you live in a fascist society where you are ruled by corporate overlords, it's the UK government saying they won't bring charges unless this private corporation called Netflix asks them to.
Well, right, and you know, if you ever needed proof of that, then you can go back decades where they've been charging people for a television license in the UK.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
They don't enforce it, though.
No, I don't know about that.
I was under the impression they didn't.
Never even heard of it.
I could be wrong.
Yeah,
in the UK, you have to have a driver's license in the U.S. to drive a car. In the UK, you have to have a television license to have a television in your household.
But what could possibly be the justification? Like, I get that if people don't know how to drive, then they could kill themselves. But
I don't know.
Didn't you have to have a television person, an official registered licensed person come in and install your television initially?
I don't know. You should check it out. You can learn more about it, I'm sure. But
I had another question about England yesterday, because Captain Kickass, he has a bunch of titles, and Nikki said, are you a sir yet, Captain?
Mm-hmm.
Are they not doing sirs right now because the Queen of England is dead?
Well, you have to have a monarch, a king or queen, in order to be able to knight someone, which is what earns them the sir.
Sir, yeah.
Has he been coronated, though?
I have no idea. I don't know or care. Zero attention to these people.
It's their version of the military, though.
Back to the TV thing here. So, in the interim, not only is cord cutting accelerating faster than expected, cord cutting is people who had cable who are getting rid of it, like your parents, Bonnie, But so are drops in linear television viewing broadly, including broadcast. And then they link to a different story, also this one from Nielsen, which is, of course, the television and radio ratings company, where they show not enough data, in my opinion. They only go back to November of 2021, so it's just the last year's worth of TV trending data. But the number of people watching cable television went from 36.9% in November of 2021 down to 31.8% in November of 2022. So a 5% drop in cable television watching.
I'm surprised it's as high as 30%. There's a lot of boomers out there, and I guess that's probably it, but...
There's something to be said for the incumbency, right? It's been around for a very long time, and they're hemorrhaging viewers over time. So they started much higher, which is why I wish this went back a decade instead of just 1 year. I bet you it was, 50 or 60% a decade ago, and it's down to 30%.
The other thing is, does this count, hotels and stuff? Because every hotel I've ever worked at, there's, 14 TVs playing.
I don't know. That's a good question, Bonnie. I suspect not.
Five that aren't in rooms,
Isn't it curious how, television and news tickers like that have just sort of become background noise in the United States, where you go to a hotel and it would be weird to not find a television playing CNN or C-SPAN or whatever?
It.
Yeah. No one's watching it. It's just the background noise of the United States. A television running ads for, 22 minutes out of every hour.
And then just talking about stuff that isn't news the other time.
Another major surprise here is that there's actually people watching broadcast television. According to the numbers from Nielsen, it's still more than 20%. It's 25% of TV viewers, 25.7%.
Is that Fox 13?
Over-the-air antenna-based broadcast.
You're in the industry, you were in the industry.
Yeah.
What was the urgency behind the switch from analog signals to digital signals that occurred in
2004 or somewhere in that?
It was earlier than that.
2007. That was an FCC cram down. It was
but why so suddenly? Because the UK had to do the same thing, but they gave themselves 10 years, and the United States was like, no. Year and a half.
It was a little slower than that here, but the reason was because the FCC auctions off frequencies, and so we did cover this at the time when it was happening on Free Talk Live. But analog frequencies are wider. You have to use a lot more bandwidth to transmit an analog channel than you do a digital channel. So digital, one of the reasons why on cable systems you can have way more digital channels than analog channels is because you can literally fit more into the same space, right?
Well, you can literally fit 8 different shows in a single ray of light. Fiber optics essentially is capable of.
Well, but in this case, we're not even talking about fiber optics. We're just talking about taking the existing...
But that's digital.
It is, but we're just talking about taking the existing bandwidth and putting more content into it. So what happened was the FCC said, well, if we turn television from analog to digital, we free up all this bandwidth, because there's 60-something analog television channels out there, most of which there's nothing there. But that space is reserved, right? So once they changed from analog to digital, they could take all that space and then re-auction it to other companies that wanted to use that spectrum. So it was a moneymaker for the FCC.
They'll free up all that space for no one to watch broadcast television.
Well, apparently 20-something percent of people are still watching broadcast
television. All people in America?
Yeah, Nielsen is America. There's more coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts with us. 603-283-6160.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News update, air traffic being slowed in Florida due to a huge computer malfunction. The FAA says air traffic control issues are triggering hours-long flight delays to most of Florida's airports. FlightAware is reporting 6,000 delays in and out of the USA. The family of Brian Koberger, the suspect in the murders of four University of Idaho students, are talking about the days ahead.
His parents and two sisters ask for privacy, say they've cooperated with investigators, and pledge to let the legal process unfold. They also expressed condolences for the families of the four students stabbed to death in their Moscow, Idaho apartment in November. Koberger, a grad student in criminology at Washington State University, was arrested Friday at his parents' home in Pennsylvania. He's due in court tomorrow and has indicated he will not fight extradition back to Idaho.
That's Rich Johnson reporting. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. Number 603-283-6160. We're doing a little shop talk here tonight, talking about the radio business and the entertainment business in general. Television continuing to hemorrhage viewers. And, of course, they're trying to switch to a subscription model, going direct to the consumer on these various different streaming platforms. And as Aria pointed out, there's just so many of them. It's hard to chase around the show that you want to watch because they move, because of licensing, they change the deals, that sort of thing.
But you know what doesn't change?
Hmm.
When you go to thepiratebay.org, and you shouldn't do this, and you use uTorrent to download all of the episodes of Doctor Who or Star Trek Next Generation, yeah, or insert favorite show, they're never going to move from your computer to a different streaming service. And I understand that that's frowned upon. But, like, we tried to do this streaming service thing. We gave it the old college try. And it was great. And it served all of the needs that we needed to serve. And there was a reason that it came into existence, because it was to solve the problem of torrenting. And then, sure enough, it began mimicking old media more and more, to the point that now torrenting is necessary,
right?
Again.
No, they got the ad-supported, quote-unquote, plans on places like Hulu or whatever. And it's like, you know, it sucks to have to pay for something and then have to watch ads.
Yeah, but you pay less. But still, it's so stupid.
And they're not as overbearing. Like, yes, the Hulu ad model, it does have ads. I think it's like, what, $6.99 a month for the ad-supported version? And it's like, it's more like YouTube ads where you have...
You can skip it?
But you have two commercials every 15 minutes instead of 4 minutes of commercials every
10 minutes.
But, you know, that's how television started, too, back in the day. Like my grandmother would tell me, we only had one television break in the middle of... I mean, one commercial break, and it was just one commercial. So these things...
They expand.
And it's going to get worse.
Good point.
You know what the most annoying part about streaming services is to me? I think that originals should be its own thing. Like, you can pay to have Netflix originals. I don't care about that crap not at all. There's not one of those shows that... Like, I watched the first two Stranger Things and they were good, and but I could live without having seen them.
And you have.
I just want to
watch season 3 or 4.
Yeah. I just want to see, like... Good, like, anytime I think about getting one of these, it's because I want to see something good, and the originals are never good. They could have their own originals channel, and then the stuff that people actually want to see. Well, I know that there are definitely people that want to see those, so they could pay for that, and I can pay for something else, and it doesn't have to be mixed together. Because
well,
it's like,
isn't your Netflix plan basically that?
No, I have a DVD plan, a Blu-ray plan.
I know, I mean, she couldn't stream it, but, like, you don't have to pay for the originals or any of that stuff. You sort of have a separate plan.
Yeah, I don't even know if they offer those things on disc.
I can't imagine they would.
Because those are mostly, like, shows, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they've made Blu-rays out of them or not.
That's I tried question. One Netflix original, and that was the Castlevania series, and, you know,
I liked it.
I love the Castlevania video games. I love difficult video games, and the Castlevania games are up there in difficulty, but I didn't like the anime style of it, I think. I feel like if they had gone for a more traditionally Western thing, it would. And I like anime, anime. I liked Inuyasha, which is like the most mainstream anime that you're ever going to get, so.
Wow, I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it, but never seen it. My cousin liked it.
It was very much for people who aren't fans of anime.
Okay.
Like, it was not Chainsaw Man or something like that.
Yeah, I'm completely, like, out of the loop on almost all animes. So.
Chainsaw Man is about a guy who can turn into a chainsaw, apparently.
Okay.
And that's all I know about it.
Is it, like, a gore one?
All I know is it's about a guy who can turn into a chainsaw. And some of my
friends
watch it.
There's only so many things you can do with a chainsaw.
Well, they say it's pretty good, right? And I think they said he only goes after people who deserve it, but it's very LGBTQ.
Oh, like Dexter.
Okay. I've never heard of that one.
I want to give you some more statistics, more interesting info here about sort of the slow death, which actually they're saying is accelerating faster than expected, the cord cutting of the world of broadcast or cable television.
Well, that's how gravity works. The more you fall, the faster you fall, up to a certain point at least.
So apparently roughly two-thirds of U.S. households today pay for a cable, satellite, or fiber television subscription, which is down from 79% in 2017 and 85% in 2007.
What was the current number?
Two-thirds. Roughly two-thirds. Again, higher than I...
Yeah, two-thirds of households having cable television is higher. I would expect it closer to one-third at this point.
Well, right. Well, this is weird because there's the Nielsen study that we talked about in the last segment showing that about 31.8% here are watching cable television. So does that mean that there's another 30% of them that have cable television, but they don't watch? That doesn't make sense to me.
It kind of does make sense with the whole bundling thing that's existed back in the day.
Yeah.
It was much more popular, you know, 10 years ago than it is now, where you get your cable television, your cell phone, and your internet all in one provider, and you get a low, low price.
That's a good point. I remember my dad having, like, AT&T and Comcast or something together.
Well, yeah, and they are also saying satellites included in this two-thirds number, and they did not include satellite at all in this Nielsen study. So there's definitely some missing information from Nielsen.
Every time Ian talks about this, I am just like... I can't believe the numbers are this high. And it's like, TV is dying. I would have expected it to be like, I don't know, 8% of Americans. Like, literally, if you told me to guess.
On the subject of Nielsen, my household is apparently a Nielsen household now.
Oh, you got the little sign up option?
No, it's not even a sign up. I just received a letter.
With a $2 bill or whatever?
It was a $1 bill. $1 bill. I was so surprised. I was like, oh, this has to be fake, right? Because you looked over the back and it's a little plastic thing that you can see through, and it's a $1 bill. I'm like, what kind of game are they playing?
It was real.
I open it up, and sure enough, it's from the Nielsen Center of whatever. And they're like, what is your favorite show? And I'm like, well, obviously, it's Free Talk Live. I haven't filled it out yet, but because I asked the other Free Talk Live group.
I can't believe they're only giving people $1 still.
Yeah.
I mean, they should at least go up to $2.
It pays for the stamp, you know.
No, you didn't have to pay a stamp to send
it
back.
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to because, I mean, why wouldn't I take this opportunity to throw one more number at Free Talk Live, right? But
yeah, sure.
I've asked the Free Talk Live host to recommend a show or a different radio show or television show that they like and support that's liberty-friendly, but so far nothing.
Despite surpassing expectations for new subscribers, Disney stock cratered to its lowest level in 21 years last quarter thanks to widening losses in its streaming division, despite the fact that they've got Star Wars and like all these other huge properties now over at Disney.
That is crazy. How did they lose money in an era where they had The Mandalorian? I've never seen it, but Baby Yoda was everywhere.
The few firms that have opted not to enter the streaming subscription wars, like Fox Corp, have fared better among investors. And then here's an interesting takeaway. You'd mentioned, I think, Bonnie, you had said that someone told you that YouTube, they're leaving, or it was a streamer.
Jeffree Star.
Yeah, so he's leaving YouTube. Well, apparently there's plenty of people that are joining YouTube because the NFL has now announced that their coveted Sunday ticket rights package will be awarded to YouTube beginning next football season. It's the second major...
Will those people want to watch Jeffree Star put makeup on his face?
Oh, I don't know. But the point is, there's a lot of people on YouTube, and that's why YouTube got this deal, right? Like, YouTube's a huge influence in video out there. And the fact that they're going to get Sunday ticket, that I don't know what that means, but it's probably a big deal. For NFL, right? Like, NFL games are on Monday Night Football, and there's Sunday for all the other games, and then there's some, like, rare games elsewhere. According to this, it's the second major NFL deal to move exclusively to a big tech firm.
Oh, hold on. I don't know what that means either, but I can speculate. I mean, this was a deal that they had previously with ESPN.
The Sunday ticket thing?
I'm assuming so. ESPN was the only other game in town. And if it's exclusive and they're not giving it to YouTube, that has huge ramifications for ESPN and cable.
Yeah. Well, there was also broadcast networks that have deals with the NFL as well. And so I don't know how this is going to affect those networks, but it's writing on the wall. I mean, this is saying to ABC and CBS and, you know, ESPN, like, goodbye. We're experimenting over here now online with exclusive online access because this is the second deal. They already did one for Thursday Night Football with NFL with Amazon. So Amazon already has some sort of exclusive deal for Thursdays, and now YouTube's going to lock down Sundays to some extent. I don't know if Sunday Ticket is like just one specific game on Sunday that they focus on, like the big game on Sunday, or if it means that YouTube's going to literally have every Sunday game.
I don't either.
I don't know.
And it's sports, so... Yeah. I will say on the subject of streaming that we're overlooking a giant elephant in the room that's actually really good, and that's YouTube TV. And I used it back in the day when my boyfriend had YouTube TV, and he just let me use his account, and it was fantastic.
What is it? Is it linear television?
It's like an online DVR, mm-hmm. right? Like when DirecTV and Dish Network, they used to have the DirecTVR, TiVo with DVR or whatever
right.
it was, and it would record shows for you, and then you could watch them whenever. This does the same thing, except it pulls a much larger shows. It pulls the cable networks, obviously, but it also pulls your local Fox affiliate and your local NBC affiliates, and it basically allows you to record them and watch them back like you had the DVR sitting in your house. Mm-hmm. Except it was cheaper. I think it was about $40 a month, and it also included a movie. It had a much wider range of content on it than you find at Hulu and Netflix. And I don't know if it's got enough content to be worth the $40 versus all of the other subscriptions.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. That's why I don't have it. It's YouTube TV.
Red? It's not Red?
No, Red is a different thing.
Oh.
And I don't know exactly what Red is. But YouTube TV, it was great in the period that I used it, but that price point kept me from doing it.
That's a killer. That's crazy.
If it's got all of the stuff, everything except the originals that you would want on Hulu and Netflix, it may actually be worth it.
I'm going to go to your phone calls here. Let's go. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve, where are you calling from? What's on your mind?
California. I'm wondering, is Bonnie still doing relationship advice?
Yeah, I'm always doing relationship advice. I have the best husband now, so.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, all right, question. Okay, that is not my actual name.
That's fine.
Because I'm worried that the person is going to hear this.
Oh.
Because she does listen to Free Talk Live.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, anyways, I work from home. I have an apartment in Hawaii, and I'm all over the place. I'm very impulsive, and I got a bunch of money lately. So, should I move somewhere for the possibility of dating somebody who is perfect?
Yeah.
Well, I would give very different advice, but you'd please ask Bonnie.
Well, I mean, you're here, so you can give your advice.
Well, you said that they're perfect, so you have to.
Well,
I would say that's exactly the reason why not. If you're viewing a human being and you want to have a relationship with them and you think they're perfect, you are setting yourself up for heartbreak.
They're not perfect, and personality-wise, we're quite a bit different. But core values were very similar. We're both straight edge, so that's good. And I blew her off like 4 years ago, and then we met up this past weekend, and everything went pretty good, I'd have to say.
Well, how much time have you spent with her total?
Like in person or just?
Yeah.
Like a weekend.
Yeah, then I wouldn't move yet. But you should go spend a lot of time with her, and if she's still perfect, then if you want a relationship with her.
Well, you don't ever know what somebody's really like until you live with them, right?
So. 100%. But where I'd be moving is New Hampshire, so that's the other thing.
Well, now it's a no-brainer. I mean, obviously, if you can move to New Hampshire and have a potential dating interest, then, I mean, that seems like a win-win.
I would advise you to move to New Hampshire, certainly, for the point of joining the Free State Project and the wider Liberty Migration. But moving to take part in a relationship, I've done this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, the thing is, I've never done anything like this. I'm not, like, an incel at all. Like, I get girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never had an issue, but I'm getting old. I'm like 30.
You want to settle down?
I chewed out everything you said. If you said, I'm getting old, I'm like 30, or whatever it was that you said.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, I'm just, okay, and I was just thinking of this just because I work from home now. This would be like, everyone like I've talked to says I'm an idiot. But the only thing is, as long as I can get back and forth to California, I'm all set. I don't know. I'm really thinking of doing it and like moving to like New Hampshire.
One of the first things you did qualify this whole thing was, is that you've got money now. Like you're well healed. You're able to travel to Hawaii regularly.
You could escape if you needed to.
Right. So that is a concern, I think, for a lot of people. If you don't have a lot of money, making a move somewhere is an expensive proposition. You've got to get a new place to live. You've got to spend whatever it costs to make the actual move.
And then you'd be trapped there if it doesn't work out.
Well, it could be uncomfortable to leave a place that's not working out for sure. But if you're able to take care of yourself and you've got money in the bank and, you know, or whatever your savings is, and you're pretty comfortable, then just on a whim going somewhere and trying something different, you really don't have anything to lose, it sounds to me.
It's important to know what exactly is entailed in moving, right? Because me moving to New Hampshire was two cats and some clothes, right? But if you have to move an entire household with the furniture and books and whatever...
That's a good question.
You don't have to right away. You can see if... she's actually perfect at first. But the other thing is, like, I know that you were joking about perfect, but yeah, there is such a thing as perfect for you, and I feel like you just know it when you know it. Like, if you have any kind of question at all, then you're probably not the person who's perfect for you. Like, I started being like, I'm never going to find anyone that's perfect for me. I just want somebody who knows their dad. Sounds kind of mean, but it was true.
Who knows their dad?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Me and my friend realized that so many of our horrible boyfriends had bad relationships with their dad.
Oh, I see.
Okay, it was like sense.
Oh, I have an awful relationship with my dad.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Well, that bodes well. Unwell for the girl that you like.
No, not necessarily. Like, maybe she somehow can relate to that guy. But me and my friend both have good relationships with our dad, and for some reason we're incompatible with people who don't. It's so weird. I don't know. It's a
daddy issues define most relationships, either because of their presence or the lack thereof.
A Freudian thing. That's what I'm about to say. I said Pavlov, but
well, she doesn't live in New Hampshire. She lives in a city not too far away.
Okay.
And,
Boston.
I'm
Worcester.
Well, no. Another one. Another one.
Portland.
A little further. But, the big one.
Okay. I think Boston.
New York.
Montreal.
You surely don't mean New York City.
Maybe.
Oh, that's a long drive.
Yeah,
man.
That is not nearby to New Hampshire.
Yeah, but just for a move.
Well, I grew up in New Hampshire, so I used to take the bus to go to... I used to go to hardcore shows down in New York all the time.
Get
on the Chinatown bus.
So would your plan be, just to clarify, would your plan be that you would move into New Hampshire and then regularly drive down to New York City or fly into New York City and just stay there with her?
No, would she move with you?
Oh, no. It's not that. It's not even close to that yet. But not even with that, yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of like I'd be doing it for, that would be part of the reason. Plus, I want to be, my mom's getting older, so I want to be close to my mom. And, you know, like, but.
So mom lives in New Hampshire still, is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Okay. She does.
It just occurred to me, you said this girl listens to Free Talk Live. You spent the weekend with her. She knows your voice, dude.
Yeah, so I was thinking, too.
Just so you're aware of that, she's going to hear this and she's going to know. So
well, maybe
have
she'll
fun
think
with that conversation.
Maybe
later.
She'll think it's sweet, you know, like that he's considering moving.
I think it's crazy.
Well, there's plenty of girls in New York City.
Crazy is fun sometimes.
To be fair, you're not considering like moving to, you know, New York City to be with her.
No,
you're thinking about moving to a different part of the country to be closer to her. Sure, of course, there are already reasons to move to New Hampshire. It's not as crazy as like when I moved to Vegas to live with this chick, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy, and I knew it at the time, right? But that's me. I'm going to roll those
dice
and see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not as crazy as it could be and as it sounds on the surface. I still would recommend against it. I would recommend.
The thing is, like, I've never done anything like this for a girl. Like, I mean, like, actually, my last long-term girlfriend lived in Boston. I lived in California. I just went back and forth a lot.
I don't think you got anything to lose. I really don't. I mean, if you're talking about moving up to New Hampshire and then going and visiting New York City more often than you currently do, is that kind of the idea here?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, and I just kind of have a break where, like, I left my apartment in Hawaii. Like, I got a whole apartment in Hawaii for no reason whatsoever. Just, I went to visit, and I'm like, oh, I could live here, and then I got a place. And
yeah, I mean, if you can afford a place in Hawaii where you don't even go, then you've got plenty of money to move, you
and
know,
if you're doing remote,
off the cuff.
That's great, because lots of people have issues in... like getting a job in their exact sector in New Hampshire. But if you can do remote,
but
you can live wherever you want.
Here's the question. I mean, this girl's in New York City. Why is she still there? Like, isn't that a terrible place for a libertarian? What's going on with
yeah, that? You'd say. Well, they have, like, a libertarian party there, I guess. There's, like, five of them.
Yeah. There's at least one kind of major person that I know that was like, oh, I am from Staten Island or something.
Oh, so I just windled it. Oh, God. I feel like now I've kind of given it away. There's only like five of them. So
in the Libertarian Party, it's probably true.
I don't know any of them except one, and he just moved to New Hampshire.
Good luck.
Well, there's also Larry Sharp. We can figure this out. That's two out of the five right there.
Yeah.
No, well, there's probably only one female.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to remark.
Yeah,
so.
There's... Yeah, I kind of... Oh, God. I pretty much embarrassed myself, so... I don't even have to worry about that anymore.
No, because she's going to recognize your voice, dude.
Well, my advice is just, if you think that it could work, there's nothing to lose, and I don't think that she'll...
Oh, God.
I don't think she'll think it's weird or crazy if she likes you back just as much.
Yeah,
and if
she likes you, then
before,
this is sweet, right? This is...
If you blew her off before and she's even giving you the chance again, I think that she likes you.
All right, there you go.
Okay. Well, anyways, I'll be up to New Hampshire. Yay, hooray. And, Ian, good luck on everything. I love everything you guys do. And
thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The whole thing just kind of hurts my soul.
Thanks, dude. I definitely appreciate you calling, and good luck with the move, and thanks for reaching out here tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. By the way, if you've got kids in government school, you got to get them out of there. 1 out of 5 graduates are functionally illiterate. 75% of high school students are unhappy. 63% of them are disengaged.
I'm surprised only 75 are unhappy.
And according to the CDC, 19% are considering suicide. So maybe it's time to get your kids out of there. You can get your child the same elite education found at Oxford for an affordable price. Thanks to Michael Strong. He's a highly acclaimed and globally known educator and launched an online academy called the Socratic Experience, where students learn through philosophical dialogue and are engaged in a highly social and inspiring learning environment. The Socratic Experience nurtures your child's unique genius. It's a proven school. Their students have gone into the most prestigious universities and highly selective companies. You can get 20% off your first year's tuition. Just go to SocraticExperience.com/FTL. That's SocraticExperience.com/FTL, and that is where you will save that 20%. So, NFL games moving over. Apparently, there's a little bit more detail here from Axios.
Well, I'm rooting for the Utes.
What does that mean?
The University of Utah, apparently, because I just Googled it.
Oh, okay. You're referring to, I think, a chat that somebody made in the chat room?
Yeah, because they say I'm a Mormon, so I'm rooting for
what the Utes. What is their mascot? Surely they have something that...
Well, these are actual Native Americans that Utah is named after. Hmm. But isn't that supposed to be racist? So maybe they don't have them as their mascot. I don't really know.
I don't know either, but I do know this. Google is going to pay $2 billion a year for this NFL package on YouTube. And that is up from the roughly $1.5 billion that DirecTV currently pays to distribute the game. So if I'm reading this correctly, it sounds like YouTube just took, by bidding $0.5 billion more over DirecTV, just snatched the rights to Sunday NFL games from DirecTV, and it sounds to me like they're going to have an exclusive deal. I
tend to agree.
For $2 billion, it better be exclusive, right?
But, I mean, it's sort of, you could already watch most sports games. As I understand it, I don't watch sports, but you could already watch a lot of them on YouTube with some sort of time delay.
Well, now you're going to get it live, apparently. Amazon's already paying $1 billion annually for just the Thursday night games, which they outbid Fox. Fox had $650 million they were paying for those, and Amazon paid $1 billion for those. So they're literally outbidding the old media networks for all of these sports teams. This is pretty wild. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show at 603-283-6160. Join us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.